The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It is a lovely Saturday morning here on the First Coast. It is 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here, as always, live and in color, and here to kind of bring you folks up to date on what's been going on out there, good, bad, or indifferent. But more so, even to answer your questions, we will be here the whole hour. Lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Callers will, as always, be put to the head of the line, and we'll, if you want to interrupt what we're doing, don't feel badly. That's the real reason we're here. So on this particular day, there's a lot happening. We're not quite as giddy as we have been the last couple of weeks because of the market, but there certainly was nothing wrong with it. And if you look at what's going on with the looping Adam Schiff tape, where he repeats himself every hour for 24 hours until, you know, I'm tempted to write to my senators and congratulate them for making it through.
Barely, in some cases.
Mm-hmm. It was above and beyond the call of duty, in my opinion. And the biggest farce of all is that nobody cares. And that's the truth.
That does seem to be the consensus.
We all know where it's going. We all know why it's being done. It's stupid. But that said, the only reason I'm actually saying it is because the market doesn't give a rip.
No, the market did not go down this week because of anything to do with that. If that were the case, it would have already happened months ago, really. Yep. And instead, the market's been climbing through all of that. So the market does not care about that. This was something completely unrelated to that. It's been a good year when a 1% drop during the course of a week, and it mainly happened on Friday, but it felt so bad. I mean, it's the first time this year we've had to deal with this. So people were up in arms, and there were the typical articles were coming out on Friday. Is this the start of a correction? And
I want to know how many people sold out.
It's great. I mean, it was down, 0.6% on Friday? Yeah. Whatever. Less than 1%.
It's true, though. The whiners are out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Unfortunately, it looked like Friday morning we were going to set another record or set of records. We did set some records this week.
Thursday got the NASDAQ.
Yep. And Friday, it looked like we might set more records. But then I don't know if this was the direct cause, but a second case of coronavirus was diagnosed in Chicago from a woman who, shockingly, had just returned from Ground Zero, the Wuhan province of China. And then everything just went downhill from there. We were actually down about 300 at one point on Friday, and we clawed back towards the close to be down a more modest amount, about 170.
I think, didn't it even go positive for a moment? Or maybe it just threatened to?
I'm not sure. Close. I don't know, but it was definitely way off its lows for the day.
We remet the volatility word.
Unfortunately, those lows were preceded by some nice 120-point gains, so it felt worse than it really was. Yeah.
For the year, month, and quarter, which are exactly the same thing, we're still good.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's still been a really good month. No complaints there. And we really weren't even hit that hard. China got absolutely hammered. They were down 6.5% this week alone. Hong Kong also got hit hard, dropping 5.7%. So China just can't get a break this year.
No, they can't.
In the past year, they've had a series of unfortunate events, some caused by them, some caused by things beyond their control. But I mean, it's been not great over there. Oil was the real loser this week, though. It dropped more than 7%, And natural gas, not to miss out on the party, dropped another 6%. Natural gas, if you haven't been following, has been incredibly volatile and mostly to the downside.
They're
There's been some spikes too, so it's really crazy.
For you speculative investors, there's a way you can buy that price and play it up a little bit. It's if anybody ever wants to do that, I'll tell you how personally, but I won't tell you how on air because it's really risky.
There are ETFs that trade the price of natural gas and oil and gas and gas that you use in your cars. And they're very volatile. They follow the prices. So the price of oil is pretty volatile.
Yeah, and if you watch the ETF's cycles, the price same. Cycles, natural gas right now is about $1.88. That's lower than I've seen it in years.
That is really low, yeah.
And for years and years, it was in the threes and fours.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you got to think that somewhere down the line, we're going to at least have a little correction to normal or something like that. In other words, a price increase.
It'll happen eventually, but I just don't know when.
We're just so darn good at making the stuff.
We are, and we're exporting it, and
not nearly as much as we're going to be exporting it.
Right, and so, but that's not always the best thing for price. It does usually help stabilize to some degree, decrease the volatility when you have more supply, but it's not good for increasing the price.
Exactly.
So other international markets also dropped, but much more moderately. Russia and Mexico were down around 2%. Brazil, Canada, and Australia had losses on par with the U.S. losses this week. So there was a little bit of just general sell-off around the world, but it really hit the Asian markets harder than anywhere else. And we really got the least of it. So it wasn't too bad. And you can tell it was a sell-off because defensive stocks were really the winners this week. Utilities were up 2.4%, while the worst performer was energy. Technology managed to eke out a small gain. You just can't bring down the technology sector. It's crazy. Bonds added to their gains for the year, with long treasuries gaining almost 3% this week to bring their total gain to almost 5% on the year. That's more than double what the S&P 500 is up. And so not bad if you're long treasuries this week. Despite the drop, the S&P is still in overbought territory, so right now there's no reason to believe that the market is doing anything besides returning back down to earth after a really tremendous few months. So when the market is overbought, that means that it's trading well above its moving averages, and that means that there's still room to fall without being worried that we're in a correction or even a recession or anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
So I just really, this didn't concern me at all.
The chances of a 5 to 10% pullback this year are just outstanding.
Yeah.
It's like any other year.
Sure.
It'll probably happen.
I don't disagree. I think that's pretty likely,
actually. It's been 13 months without one now. And when this month closes, it'll be 14 months because we had it in December of 18.
Yeah, so there's really no reason to believe it won't happen.
Panic.
I would not panic at all, especially if the economic data keeps doing what it's been doing, and that is beating more than it's been missing. This week was not an exception to that. We told you last week how well the housing sector had been doing, and that trend continued with existing home sales surprising to the upside. Sales increased by 3.6% in December, much more than expected. Average prices are up almost 6% from last year. We kind of thought lack of inventory might constrain this number in December, but that wasn't the case, as buyers were able to find more existing homes than expected. And I would suspect that low interest rates were a catalyst for this and will continue to be year.
The bonds are getting nice and strong, which means those interest rates are being forced to either drop a little or at least not rise.
Yeah, so I really think that the housing market is going to stay on firm footing this year, barring some unforeseen event.
Contrary to all that economic theory that says when you have employment like this and demand like this, that interest rates are definitely going to go up, interest rates have been nothing but sagging for, what, a year, 2 years?
Yeah. I mean, they've been decreasing for a long time, but it's the only real increase we had was the few hikes we saw last year, and those quickly reversed, or 2 years ago, and then quickly reversed last year.
Yeah, the market didn't even want to factor them in the first place, so it just sort of rolled over. And Adam and I always discuss the fact that we wish interest rates were higher, but when you get real practical, and you got to look around out there and say, the U.S. competes with everybody in the world, so our markets were going to get punished if we kept raising the rates. And I'll give them that. I understand it. So I'll just let that go and say, if you're going to get a mortgage, it's a great time to do it. All right, we've got to pay some bills. We'll be back in just a second. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handyman, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit home.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to home.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home, and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get six free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Homeowners, now is the season to be thinking about your roof, because all it takes is one storm to turn a small roof problem into a major leak. If it's time for a new roof, get your roofing installed the right way with Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home consultation. Sears licensed, fully insured contractors can get your roofing job done right. You'll get reliable service and installation. And Sears has a variety of shingles and styles that are built for long-lasting performance. So if you need a new roof, don't wait till the next storm. Call Sears Roofing for a free in-home consultation. Call 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. That's Sears Roofing. Call right now. 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And just kind of summarizing the market for a brief second before I give out the trivia question. The bullish sentiment out there has not gone down this past week, despite the little blips in the market, but it's not rising very fast either. It's kind of steady at a very good pace. That makes me reasonably happy, although if it dropped a little, I'd be even happier. The coronavirus is spooking a lot of people. In China now, they've quarantined 3 cities instead of just one. It's somewhere from 35 to 40 million people. And there are some people that think that's actually going to make a difference in the overall market outlook of the stocks. I say, ho-hum.
Yeah, this has not reached, despite the worldwide news coverage of any type of event like this, they love it because it sells fear. And this is not something to freak out about yet, especially. It's not as big an event as you would think by watching the news.
Yeah, and if there is a big event scheduled for this week, which I will talk about. But first, Adam has a trivia question brought to you as usual by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, and you can call First Coast Alarm at 904-636-7888.
If you have been invested in energy or oil over the last few years, you know that that has not treated you very well. In fact, today, the energy sector makes up 4% of the S&P 500's weighting. I would like to know where that weighting was as little as 10 years ago. And I'll give you a hint. It is higher.
Yes, we have a bracket from 4 to 100 because you can't weight more than 100.
Right.
And since there are, at various people's estimates, somewhere between 11 and 19 sectors, you probably figure it's not quite 100 either.
Right.
But it's higher than what it is. So, yeah, that's a reflection of the overall price level not doing what it used to do, companies not making as much money. But don't forget, energy companies don't own all the energy in the world. And this is something that so many people forget. They'll look at a company like Exxon or whoever you want to talk about. They say, well, when the price of oil goes down, they lose. No, they don't. They buy more than they own and process it. So if they can get a better deal on it and move it to the pumps and not have to lower the price too much at the pumps, they're actually going to benefit from this. So, A, I wouldn't feel sorry for them, and two, don't think that the energy market is going to stay depressed forever. It is not. My little words of wisdom.
Almost nothing stays down or up forever.
That is true, and especially in a sector that describes itself as volatile.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, that's the history of the energy sector is full of booms and busts. Okay. If you look at the Houston skyline, that used to be the joke. Yeah. You could tell how well the energy sector was doing by how many cranes were on the Houston skyline.
That was like my Caterpillar gauge when we used to drive by the Caterpillar plant. You could count the empty spaces in the parking lot and know if the economy was booming or in bust. There'd be none 1 year, and then next year it'd be half empty. So anyway, repeat the question. Energy today is 4% of the S&P. What was it 10 years ago higher than that?
Where was it 10 years ago? How much higher was it than it was today?
All right, what's important this week? Worldwide, if you think about it, there's something happening midnight on the 31st of January. It's been talked about and talked about and talked about until it stopped being talked about. And that something is Brexit.
Mm.
Now, why isn't the world in a panic knowing that the clock is ticking down to the end of the British Isles being in the EU?
I'm not sure.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because, as we said last time, who cares? It's not important. You know what is going to happen and why people are worried about this not happening, I cannot imagine. 45% of exports from England go where?
Go to the America, I guess? Or the EU?
EU.
Okay.
50% of EU exports go where?
To England. Back, yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you think anybody's going to sit still? They're going to tell their producers in the EU that they just lost half their market because they won't talk to them? I don't think so. If you're Bojo, are you going to tell all the people in your country that they just lost 45% of their market because they won't talk to them? I don't think so. So what's Bojo going to do? Two things simultaneously, I believe. I'm certainly no expert in politics in Europe, but here's what I would do, and he's as logical as anybody out there. I would be placing 1-800 White House calls already and scheduling a little chit-chat with Mr. Trump and his trade negotiators. And at the same time, I'd be talking to the EU saying, all right, here were the old rules. Here's what is changing. Adapt.
It reminds me a bit of a big corporate mindset. I've worked for several large corporations, and I've been with them during times when they were losing a lot of employees. Typically, when the market is good, that happens. Mm-hmm. And the result of that inevitably is, what is wrong with all these people? Big companies never look inward and say, what are we doing that's causing all these people to leave? It's always, why are these people acting like this?
Yes.
And that is sort of what's going on with the EU. I think everyone who's in it has probably given some thought to leaving because it doesn't give you enough benefit to be in. Being out looks way more attractive than being in. So I think that the EU really needs to look inward and say, why is it that we are not providing enough for our members that they want to leave? It's like if Nebraska wanted to leave the United States, what You'd have to think. Well,
now California. You'd
also have to wonder what we were doing.
I'd support them.
Well, that's a different story. But no, you really wouldn't, because the economic benefit of having California is too great, despite, you know, the other part of it. But but you really have to think that it just doesn't happen very often in the United States. So why is the EU not functioning that well? At least that's my humble opinion. I really think that they take a lot and they don't give back very much.
Yeah, I got a little article in my hand here from the American Crypto Association. We have an American Crypto Association? Apparently we do. But some of it's kind of funny. One little comment that I really liked, if I can find it here. Let's see. They're the ones that gave me the 45 and 50%, but they basically say, who would want to give up selling to somebody like England, where they hide all of their problems under the fog? Anyway, what his point was, I have absolutely no idea, but he thinks it's going to be pouring lots and lots and lots of investment cash into cryptocurrencies.
Really?
The Brexit is going to cause a spike in cryptocurrencies?
I don't buy that.
Does the term non sequitur come to mind?
Yeah, that doesn't seem to be a thing that's going to happen.
I just got a big chuckle out of this. And speaking of cryptocurrency, and we were, how's your old crypto doing this week?
I don't know. I don't follow it.
Down 40% from its peak last June.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Ouch.
And what other things did we warn you about with cryptocurrency?
I think taxation might have come up.
Oh, that's in the IRS study group right now. I'm wondering how to get a handle on it. But then there's that other little problem you might have. You know, I think people might get confused if I use the name Peter Schiff. Yes, it's Peter Schiff, not Adam Schiff. Now, they may be spelled alike and all that, but Peter Schiff is a big guy in finance, and he has made lots and lots of money. So last thing I'm going to do is tell you that he's no good at anything, because he obviously is very good at some things. But I think he's nuts, and about every time I read about him, I get more and more convinced. So if nuts, by definition, means that you disagree with me, and that is, after all, my definition, then he's nuts. But he had this Bitcoin account. And according to him, it was given to him. Now, I have no idea if that's true or not, so I won't even speculate on it. But funny thing happened the other day on his wallet. His password got corrupted. You know what that means? He has no
way of accessing
Bitcoin
it.
Account.
Yeah.
Poof! It's gone. Now, if that sounds like a really good investment to anybody out there, I would encourage you to rethink. We've been telling you this stuff since people have been talking about Bitcoin. If you can't explain it to a 12-year-old in about 30 seconds and you own it, you better rethink seriously why you own it. It's just crazy, in my opinion. My opinion is not reflected necessarily by the radio station, not even Adam, not even some of our clients, and I don't really care.
I don't personally own any crypto, though. No, I don't really feel a need to. I don't see where it would fit in my portfolio right now.
No. All right. I got a few seconds here while the music's playing before this segment is over. Here's another one. You know I love headlines. Everybody knows I love headlines. This one was called, "Don't Use This Credit Card to Get Gas Ever." So I'm thinking, oh my God, there's some credit card out there that's got a real problem with it, right? And the real crux of the article is not bad, but it has nothing to do with the headline. It says, when you use your credit card at a gas station, you might want to go inside and pay so you can make sure there's no skimmer. But it also points out that if you wiggle it in there, it's probably a skimmer. If it looks funny, it's probably a skimmer. And always use one with a chip in it.
Yeah.
I think it's all craziness, too. But I wonder why people write articles like this. I would say how not to get scammed or something like that with a skimmer. But no, it's just me. I'm in a funny mood, I guess. All right, we'll be right back. Got to pay some more bills. This is the VanWee Financial Hour.
Talk radio AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. At this hour in the U.S. Senate, the president's impeachment defense team is beginning to lay out its defense of the charges that he abused the power of his office and also obstructed Congress. They say he's not guilty of the charges Democrats have been going on about 3 days in their 24 hours of argumentation. Today, the president's defense team plans to go for about 2 hours and then resume their arguments on Monday. President Trump has become the first U.S. president to attend the annual March for Life rally. In a presidential first, he took to the stage to address tens of thousands of pro-life Americans ahead of their annual gathering here in Washington yesterday. His appearance was welcomed by the March for Life president, Gene Mancini, and the president told the crowd that unborn children have never had a stronger defender in the White House. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was down 170 points. This is SRN News.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. Did you know that only 1% of all the diamonds in the world qualify to be a Forevermark diamond? They're the world's most carefully selected diamond and the world's most responsibly sourced diamond. These diamonds benefit the communities they're sourced from. That's why these diamonds carry an invisible Forevermark icon on their table. Most people don't know that Forevermark diamonds are individually cared for from the mine all the way to her finger. And that's where Underwoods fits in. Not everybody can carry Forevermark diamonds. And in fact, all of the companies in the Forevermark network that handle the diamond between the mine and her finger are vetted and carefully selected for their honesty and integrity to also carry that Forevermark icon. Underwoods is proud to be a part of the Forevermark network. And in fact, we were one of the first five in the United States invited to join. So come by and see our selection of Forevermark diamonds in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops of Ponte Vedra.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle. And done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor for crying out loud. Florida State License CGC 1526479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
Join me, Dr. G, on the next America First, where I'll recap the first day of the Senate trial of President Donald Trump with Congressman Steve Scalise and the newest member of the Trump campaign, Boris Epstein. Then talk to the Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhardt, live from the SHOT Show in Vegas, and John Lott on the latest attempts from the left to take away your God-given Second Amendment rights to protect yourself and our republic from tyranny.
America First with Sebastian Gorka, weekdays 3 till 5 on WBO. How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Got to be a sunny weekend with highs today, 65, overnight low, 44, and a high on Sunday, 65. Cloudy, 20% chance of showers Sunday night, down to 50. Rain continues on Monday, high of 67, and then partly cloudy Monday night, down to 40. Tuesday, sunny, high of 66.
Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the trivia question is still out there. The energy sector is currently about 4% of the value of the S&P 500. What was it 10 years ago that was higher than that? And I wanted to mention one other thing, if I can think of it. Oh, yeah, I wanted to mention that Adam wants to talk to you about your FICO score. That was it.
Yeah,
your FICO score may be changing.
It might be. It's not bad news if you are someone who pays your bills on time. If you are not one of those people, it could potentially be bad news. About 110 million people will probably see their score change about 20 points, somewhere in a 20-point range. The other 80 million or so, 40 of those will see their scores increase dramatically, and 40 million of those will see their scores decrease dramatically. So what the FICO score is trying to do is give companies an even better idea than they have been doing about the actual risks of the person they are offering credit to. So just be aware that if you are someone who can't get their bills paid on time, you might start seeing your credit score go down further than it already is. So it's going to be that much more important to pay your financial obligations.
There are people like that out there. We are not them so much, but there are people who specialize in getting your debt consolidations and bill paying in order. And it may behoove you more than ever now to get your act together.
Yeah, this
FICO score will hurt you.
This new score is going to place a greater importance on missed payments. And if you take out a personal loan, which is a type of credit that has been growing recently.
You pointed out
we talked about that a little while back. But the FICO scores do not like people who take out personal loans, or at least some people who do. I think it's going to depend on your credit worthiness already. So if you already have a high score and you take out a personal loan, that'll be okay. But if you have a low score and you do that, then it's going to flag you as being a really high risk.
Yeah. On a personal note, by the way, today is wrapping up our fifth year doing the show. So next week at 10 o'clock, we start year six. Thanks to everybody for supporting the show. We love doing it.
That's hard to believe, but it's
true.
Isn't
it? And those of you who are really loyal, remember the rocky start we got 5 years ago next week. We'll probably have to talk about that a little bit next week just because it was funny.
Funny-ish.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to a radio station local here the other day, and one of the shows it was on was a pre-recorded financial show. And you want to watch paint dry or listen to a pre-recorded financial show? It's close. It's
neither.
Yeah, that would probably be better. But most of them are. These people don't want to take the chance that somebody will call and ask them something they don't know that's their problem, not mine, because we will discuss anything. And anytime we don't know something, we will promise you to know it by next week and we'll get the answer. But I digress. They offer, for people who call in, something called a comprehensive financial plan. Well, that sounds personal, or it sounds, what's the word I'm looking for? It sounds like a good idea. How's that? Right?
Sure.
Personal, comprehensive financial plan. And then they go on to say, call this number and get your CFP. Well, CFP is a set of letters that is very, very personal to Adam, to me, because when you become a certified financial planner and get to actually say you are a CFP, you've been through a lot, an awful lot, education, training, testing, all that stuff. And this was very deceptive. Call and get the CFP. My first inclination was to call the number and ask for the CFP. But of course, they don't have one. They did nothing illegal. They did nothing unethical, I presume. They probably wouldn't have done it. But I sure thought it was misleading. Yeah, maybe it's just me. I like pointing that out. Headlines are headlines, and I love them. So this one I've entitled, He's Back.
Who's that?
Ralph Nader. A word that will send chills down the spine of some people. You wouldn't have to tell me your age if that's one of you, because I know you're kind of like me. So on Friday in MarketWatch, there's a headline. Tesla will mark the beginning of the end of this bull market, says Ralph Nader.
Okay. So Tesla stock, if you haven't been following it, is on an absolute tear. It is up from just below 200, and I think it topped out closer to 600 recently. And
it's
all that happened.
$1 trillion company now, and the largest car maker in the country.
What did that happen? A year or 18 months, something like that.
It's a very short period of time.
Yeah. And ironically, Elon Musk got in some hot water about 2 years ago for tweeting out that, oh, I have an offer from a private equity group at 400. When the stock was somewhere in the 200s. And the SEC did not like that.
No, they didn't.
He got a slap on the wrist for that miscalculation. But then the stock passed 400 and it just kept going. So in hindsight,
it had a little bit to do with the fact that he's now delivering automobiles to real people.
Yeah. And in higher numbers than expected as well. And just closed on a super factory in China. And there's a lot of good things happening at the company. People love his product. And I see why. It's beautiful.
I've run into people having them, and I've never heard a bad word from any of those people.
No, they're really, really nice cars. And when you get in one, it's very apparent that it's a nice car. But it's valued really, it's valued on future potential rather than current, which is normal.
Yeah.
It's just that's a big run up in a very short amount of time. However,
it ran past my ability to conceive of it as a good deal.
All that being said, I still don't see how Tesla could bring down the stock market.
No. So I thought I'd give you a little retrospective on Ralph Nader. He'll be 86 next month. He ran for president in 1996. 2000, 2004, and 2008. His share of the 2000 vote was less than 1%, but there are a lot of people out there that still blame him for Al Gore's loss.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair? I don't know. I don't care. Note that Al Gore was capable of losing it all by himself. He didn't need too much help. But Ralph Nader is the self-described consumer advocate, probably the first one of any notoriety before Horowitz. And I'll tell you this about Ralph Nader versus Clark Howard. Clark's in no trouble. He is the king of the consumer advocate.
Yeah.
Nader couldn't hold a candle to him. Anyway, he got his law degree from Harvard in 1958. And his main concern in his younger years was for the bad car design that he claims led to high rates of auto accidents. Personally, the rate of auto accidents to me is more a function of the idiots behind the wheel, but that's just my opinion. So he wrote a book about this called Unsafe at Any Speed when the Corvair came out. Those of you my age remember the Corvair. It was adorable. What a cute little car. My friend from a half a block down was the guy who got me interested in golf when I was young. And when he turned 16, which was about a half a year ahead of me, his mom bought him a little Corvair convertible, and we took that car back and forth to the golf course every day that wasn't just too horrible to play. So I have this intensely fond memory of the Corvair. But he claimed, and falsely, that that car was trouble waiting to happen, and he ruined it. He's all by himself, he ruined it because people gave him so much time. Then in 1990, he became a thorn in the side of Bill Gates, because he said that Microsoft was a monopoly. And if you remember back in that era, it wound up with Microsoft having to spin off Internet Explorer, break up their system. He was giving it to you for free, and they made him take it out. Now, if that's the kind of protection that consumer protections give me, I don't want protection, thank you very much. But I thought he was long gone. I didn't know if he was alive or dead, but I never thought I'd be hearing from him again. But he's back with one more time. So if you believe that Tesla is going to cause the downfall of our stock market, you better get out fast. But if I were you, I wouldn't.
No, that's not going to cause the end of the stock market. That's ridiculous.
I have to tell you, people do anything to get their name in the news these days. Anything, whether it's dumb or not, I don't know. Different kind of world we live in. All right, after the break, I am going to talk a little bit about something that I started years ago that I call woulda, coulda, shoulda. How many of you can think of things in your life that you woulda, coulda, and maybe shoulda done? Probably all of us, right? Well, how does that apply to financial planning? very directly when you think about it. So I'll get into this a little bit. There's also a post on our website that's a condensed version. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Banwe Financial Hour.
If you don't have a battery-operated radio and light when the power goes out, you may be considered a little crazy. This is Bob from Sea Crane, and radio is the only service that stays up when all communications are down. We believe that having an emergency radio and light that always works is one of the most important things you can have in your emergency kit. Well, with the CC Observer, you get both. The Observer is an AM, FM, and weather band radio that will keep you updated during any local emergency. The Observer can be charged by a hand crank or can be used with common AA batteries. It has a built-in flashlight and a lighted dial. The CC Observer is the radio and light source that you should have during a power outage.
To order the new CC Observer, now with the solar panel, please give us a call at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. Or visit us online at ccradio.com. Sea Crane, the high-performance radio and light company.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-933-0939 for your free CD. Call 1-800-933-0939. That's 1-800-933-0939.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Call now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Call right now and you'll also get 6 free sensors. That's 6 points of protection for free. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-888-987-3232. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-888-987-3232. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Total package includes 6 door window sensors. Labor charges may apply. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and Protect Your Home license numbers. Call now, 1-888-987-3232.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Lines are open, 904-222-8255. This segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. All right, how many times have you said it? I wish this. I wish that from long ago. I would have done it. I could have done it. Maybe I should have done it. Well, I wrote this article many years ago when I was writing for a magazine in Palm Coast, and called it Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda Financial Planning. And I came across it the other day just looking through some old archives, and I thought, you know, that I'm a lot older now. A lot of us are a lot older now. I bet a lot of people kind of have those things going on. So I thought I'd resurrect it just a little bit. And it happened to coincide with a study I just found that was commissioned by TD Ameritrade and conducted by Harris Poll. And it found that a majority of Americans in the age group 40 to 79 would grade their own readiness for their retirement at C or less on an A to F scale. And those are the ones that would admit it. And I bet some of the A's and B's are misleading themselves a little bit, too. So hard to say. But nearly everybody said they would have done some things differently, and many more said they could have done exactly that. And when pressed, the bulk of them say they should have done something different. So here's a few of the findings from TD. 53% of people in their 50s have less than $100,000 saved for retirement. That's in your 50s.
Ouch.
Yeah. Only 12% of Americans aged 60 to 79 have accumulated $1 million or more. And I looked at that one slightly different than the study did. I kind of thought,
that's not that bad.
No, I thought, well, if 12% of people in that age group have done $1 million.
So not everyone needs $1 million to retire.
Depends on your fixed income. A lot of people are on really good pensions, add Social Security, whatever. I mean, you don't need that much.
If you have your house paid off and you have Social Security plus a $600,000 saved, a lot of people can make that work within a budget.
Sure. No, I was just a little bit off the rails on that one, I guess, but not bad. Half of the respondents said that they had retired sooner than they expected, not because they could, because of unforeseen circumstances. We call those the unplanned retirements, and they're scary. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
Do you think this Corona beer virus is going to cause a correction?
It caused me to correct. I'm drinking more of them as a preventative. No, I don't. I think it's a non-event. It's happening. Remember the bird flu and all the whining and crying
SARS.
With that? SARS, yeah. The panic goes away when the next panic comes in. And that panic can be anything. It can be financial. It can be anything. So, no, I don't expect it. I don't think you're going to see any massive outbreaks. I do believe that the authorities in China and here are doing a very good job of monitoring. I just don't see it as a problem.
I think if it were a deadlier virus, perhaps, but this one seems to be, I mean, most people just get the flu or something like that. And it can be deadly if you are susceptible, older or younger, or immunocompromised or whatever. But it doesn't. The rates that I've seen so far don't seem incredibly high. So
not Ebola.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even a third cousin. Although they say it's mutated from that strain, but I don't think so. If we get a correction, it's going to be for one reason and one reason alone: that it's a natural correction, and it will happen. Will it happen this year? Probably. Not necessarily. But when it happens, all it means is we consolidate back a little bit and start marching on forward. So if you're going to plan on or bet on making a correction out of this virus, I think you could get lucky, but it would be not so much logical. What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm concerned about the setup during big weeks. You know, this is a big week where Apple, Facebook, and Amazon report, and, Apple has really gone up a lot since their last earnings report. So it seems like even if they deliver really, really good results that, they may take profits.
Yeah, that's perfectly logical.
That concerns me more than coronavirus.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like to hold a stock over the period of time where it's reporting. Because in some reporting periods, the stock will fall no matter how good you are. But that's not been the case lately. Stocks with good earnings have been pretty well treated in the market.
They were last quarter, and typically the first quarter is the best quarter for rewarding good earnings.
Mm-hmm. And I've watched some of the little suppliers, the articles that come out about them, and they're ramping up production if they're Apple suppliers. It appears that this iPhone 11 thing has really taken off. They may do some astounding numbers.
Who knows?
But they're also, as you well know, transitioning to a service economy, and they're doing a pretty good job on that, despite the high level of competition. So I just don't see anything really wrong with any of the setup that's going on right now. So no panic, no adjustments. I mean, anybody who does it, I can't really blame them because your logic is there. It just doesn't seem like it's that important to me.
I mean, time will tell.
Yep. So what do you think?
Well, it was interesting as yesterday is that Apple was up almost the whole day, even while the market was down. So it was like acting like a trampoline. I'm really following Beyond Meat pretty closely right now because that's acting like a trampoline. So What do you guys think of Beyond Meat?
We were just talking about that yesterday, actually. Uh-huh. It's, I mean, I don't
America's sweetheart right now, right?
It is. I have a tough time buying it. I just don't think that the demand is as high as what the news is saying. I could be wrong.
I hope you're not eating it for nutrition's sake, because it's got more junk in it than anything else.
So the problem for me is that 5 years ago, people were telling me not to buy processed foods because that was going to kill me. And now the hottest thing in America is apparently a processed food, which I just don't, it doesn't make sense to me. Is it healthy? Is it unhealthy? I don't know.
And you tell me it tastes just like beef. I'm telling you, it might taste like your beef, but it doesn't taste like mine.
I don't know. What do you, have you tried it? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. You know, but you can't deny the fact that the millennials are wanting to think a different way. And, you know, you got Starbucks and you got McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts all getting in on the act. And so it seems like nobody wants to be left behind. And then you got Burger King in the act, too, but with a different company. So it seems like that the companies don't want to be left behind.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, and it is like a scramble to get that in your store right now. But what are the sales figures? I want to see that.
Yeah, you and me. If people find out that they like the old stuff better. Now, there are a lot of people that are committed to not being meat eaters. And
that's great.
But they have been. They're just going to be buying different products now. But if you're doing it for a reason other than your aversion to meat, I just don't see it, because you look at what those things are made of.
I'm curious.
Got a sodium high.
I'm curious if vegetarians are now saying, you know what? We can go eat at Dunkin' and have a breakfast sandwich now, or we can go to McDonald's. Are they making that conscious decision to add that to where they eat? I'm not sure. That would be interesting to me, because if that, you're increasing more customers because of it, then I think it's a good move.
Yeah. Well, not getting on the bandwagon, if you're a chain like that, I think it'd just be stupid. You want to keep up your competitive position with Burger King, with Starbucks and whatever. Of course, you've got to give people alternatives, but I sure wouldn't look at it as a replacement market.
I want to see the sales figures.
Yep, absolutely.
I think we'll know more on Wednesday when McDonald's reports.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll come up on the conference call.
Yeah, I'll be watching that. I'm very curious, especially now that you've brought it up.
I agree. We'll be taking a look. Do you want to take a? I only got about a minute. Do you want to take a shot at the trivia question?
I'm just going to guess and say 12%.
Ooh, you were getting there, but not quite there. The actual number was 15. In 10 years, it has fallen from 15% of the S&P down to 4. If you're a contrarian-type investor, much as I am, might be an idea to look at for the next year.
Yeah, but I've been thinking that for a few years
now.
Yes,
I have too. I've been wrong about that in gold for a while, so you never know. We appreciate the call. We got to get out of here. Thanks so much. Call again. We've got just a few seconds left. I'm going to pick up on the woulda, coulda, shoulda next week at the same time when we start year 6 of the Banway Financial Hour. Where does the time go, he wonders. I hope you had fun today, maybe learned something. Just, it's going to be a heck of a week with Brexit and the politics and the earnings season and all that. The market should be a whole bunch of fun. So we look forward to next Saturday, bringing it all to you live and in person. See you then. This is the Banway Financial Hour.